Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Lord's Day. Yeah, I had to get that in. Well, a few weeks ago, I signed up on the little preacher scheduling list out in the hallway and thought I'd give it a try. Signing up and preaching a sermon is well far outside of my comfort zone, but we're gonna do this, and we're gonna see how it goes. Definitely need to pray, and so will you pray with me? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you that for the opportunity you give us to be here this morning as a family to worship you and study from your Word and sing these songs of praise to you, Father. We want to just thank you for all the ways you bless us, and Father, thank you for the opportunity to present your word this morning. I pray that you help me to deliver it in a manner that is clear and understandable, and that it will be beneficial to all of us in helping us to live our lives as children of yours. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of our lesson this morning is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. It comes from John 14, verse 6. That was the scripture that was read by Holloway earlier. And before getting into John 14, 6, it's important, I think, to back up just a little bit and kind of set the background and the setting, what was going on at the time when Jesus said this to his disciples. Jesus, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning to John chapter 14. We're going to back up and talk a little bit about some stuff in chapter 13. Jesus is having his last meal with his disciples. He's washed their feet, instituted the Lord's Supper, predicted that Judas was going to betray him. And toward the end of chapter 13, Jesus tells his disciples that he is leaving, and where he is going, they cannot follow now, but will be able to follow later. Well, Peter asked why he couldn't follow Jesus now. And Peter said, well, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, really? And he said to Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So after all this, you've got Jesus talking about leaving, and all this talk about betrayal, talk about being denied. The disciples were probably somewhat in a lost state, maybe a kind of a state of bewilderment, confusion, because they weren't really expecting to hear all this. So what Jesus does is he gives them some very comforting words at the beginning of chapter 14. Let's look at that. We'll first start with the first four verses. This is John 14, starting in verse 1. Jesus talking to his disciples here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Well, this kind of caused a little bit of confusion in the mind of Thomas. In verse 5, Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. So here in verses 6 and 7, Jesus makes it clear that where he is going is to be with the Father. And that the only way for his disciples to get to the Father or to come to the Father is through him. And coming to the Father means really to come into his presence, to be with him, to know him, to have a relationship with him. So this morning, we're going to take a look at verse 6 and kind of focus on that and see what we can take away from the statement of Jesus that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So first, let's look at the statement of Jesus where he says, he is the way. Now notice that Jesus says he is the way, not a way. So that excludes all other ways to the Father. You know, a lot of places we travel to have more than one way to get there. For example, let's say you wanted to travel to Short Pump. Well, there's a couple ways you could go there, and depending on the traffic and the weather, you know, you might go up 95 and then take Interstate 64 over to Short Pump. Or another way is you could go up 95 and then take 288 and go around that way up to West Broad Street, and you could take that into Short Pump. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to different places. However, there is one and only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus. There is no other way. So what is Jesus? So what does Jesus is the way? What does that really mean? Well, for one, it means that Jesus is the way and the only way to have a daily personal relationship with God. Every day that the disciples spent with Jesus, they could see that he had a relationship, a close one with his Father. They noticed him always praying to the Father and talking about the Father. And so a relationship with the Father is something that God has always wanted to have with us from the very beginning, like he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before their sin created a separation between man and God. In addition to being a way to a daily personal relationship, Jesus is also the only way to an eternal home with him in heaven. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one and only mediator between us and God. And all of us need a mediator, need the mediator that is Jesus. Turn to Romans 3:23. And also, keep a finger there and turn a few pages over to Romans 6:23. No matter how hard we try to be a good person and live a good life, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So sin comes with a death penalty. And this death penalty is not just for murder and big sins. It's for any sin. There's really no distinction made. The penalty for sin is death. We are all guilty, and all of us are separated from God by our sins. But Jesus has come as the way to restore that relationship and to make us right with God. Romans 3:23, you know, says that we fall short of the glory of God. But thankfully, in verse 24, the next verse, it says that, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now in Romans 6:23, it does say that the penalty for sin is death. But if you read on to the rest of that verse, it also says that Jesus is the only way to this gift of eternal life with God in heaven. Now let's look at Acts 4 and verse 12. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So here we see then that Jesus is the way to salvation. And Jesus is the way to God the Father because He has revealed the Father to us. If you go back and look in John 14, let's look at verse 7 again. We read that, but let's read it again. In verse 7, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The only way we can really know God and have a relationship with him is to know Jesus. And Jesus is also the way to God because he has opened the way to him. And let's look in Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. So there's no other way to have access to God the Father. It is only through Jesus that we can have a relationship with him. Now, since Jesus is the way, the only way to the Father, then it's vital that it be our top priority every day. So to help illustrate this, I want you to imagine that you're traveling in your vehicle to a very important destination, but it's a place that you've never been to before, but it's a place you need to get to, and you got to get there by a certain time. There's like an appointment or something. And this place that you're trying to go to in your vehicle is in a rural area, kind of like out in the boonies, out in the country. You know, there's a lot of farmland. There's not a lot of buildings and houses. And it's a part of the country or county that you've never really traveled in before. You're not familiar with those roads. But you do have some directions that you were given that you had to follow to get to this important destination. Now, we're going to have to assume that this is back before we had GPS and cell phones because, you know, nowadays you can just punch in and look on your phone where to go. But this is back before cell phones, so you're going to have to rely on your directions that you have and possibly someone to help you if you get lost. So here you go. You're following these directions, trying to. You're heading to this destination, trying to get there on time. I mean, you're traveling through a place. You're not really familiar with the surroundings, but you're attempting to follow directions. And then things just don't look right, you know, and what you see on the directions aren't matching what you're seeing. And then you come to the realization, hey, I'm lost. And looking at your watch, you realize, man, I'm kind of running out of time. I'm going to have to get some help. So as you're driving along, you see a very small family-owned convenience store up at the next intersection. So you stop there and you go inside and talk to the man behind the counter, explain to him, you know, what's going on, where you're trying to get to, and see if he can help you. So the man goes, well, I think I might know where that is. I've never been there before, but I think what you need to do is get back out on this main road and head north, go for a couple miles. You come up the Old Hickory Road, and there you can make a right turn, and you go for a little ways, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, 4 miles. And there'll be a fork, you'll take it to the left and travel a ways, and maybe about 2 or 3 miles, and you'll see a barn, a red barn on the left-hand side. You turn right on that road. I don't remember the name of that road, but yeah, just turn on that road, go down a few miles. You'll come to Old Highway 12, turn left on that, go for a little ways, and you'll see it on the right-hand side. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble now. But there's a man that was there in the store overhearing this. So he comes up to you and says, "Yeah, I understand that you're trying to get directions. I know exactly where you're trying to go to. I've been there before. And you have to be careful on these roads and which way you go, because there's a lot of roads that have been washed out by the storm we had the other night. There's really only one safe way to get there." And you go, "Okay." You're thinking, "Hey, I got somebody here that can help me." Then the gentleman goes on to say, "I tell you what, I'll show you how to get there. I got this old blue pickup truck parked out here. Just pull in out behind me. Just follow me, and I'll take you right there." And you think, "Oh, that's great. I've got somebody I can follow through this maze and roads and get to this important destination." So here you go. So you're following this gentleman, this blue truck. Wouldn't it be important to you, and wouldn't you make every effort to stay close to that truck, to not let it get out of sight, to keep your eyes on it? Wouldn't it be important to you to not let anything come between you and that truck, not some other farm tractor or some other vehicle pull in there and get between you and the truck? And wouldn't you want to make sure you're putting all of your focus and attention on keeping an eye on and following that truck? Maybe turn the radio off so you're not distracted by all the talk on the radio. Okay. If you do that, you continue to follow this truck, you're going to get to that destination. Well, that is similar to how it is when Jesus says he is the way. You follow him, stick close to him, make it our priority, and we'll get there. Jesus is the way, and the only way to a relationship with God and eternal home with him in heaven. The way to the Father is intimately known by Jesus because he came from heaven. He was with the Father. He came to earth, and he's gone back to heaven. So there's no one who has done that. Jesus is the only one that's come from heaven to earth and gone back. So he is absolutely qualified to show us the way to the Father. All right, let's now look at the statement where Jesus says that he is the truth. You know, many people in our culture today react against the concept of absolute truth. They prefer different strokes for different folks, where there's no accountability before God. They believe there's no absolute truth, and they can just live in their own dream world where they face no ultimate condemnation or judgment. And this idea of no absolute truth is really not new in history. In fact, back in Jesus' time, during Jesus' trial, you know, Jesus said to Pilate, "I have come into this world to testify to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Well, Pilate then responded by saying to Jesus, "What is truth?" So, what is truth? Truth is what's true. It cannot change because by nature it is not subjective. Now, theologically, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. It is what it is because God declares it is and made it so. All truth must be defined in terms of God, whose very nature is truth. Let's look at John 1:14. John 1:14. Here in this scripture, we're going to see how Jesus is being described as being full of grace and truth. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God is the one source and sole author of truth. Truth about anything is what God says it is. For example, You know, you have people today who go around and they want to identify as the opposite sex. You know, you have people that were, say, born as a male, but they feel like, you know, that they're a female. They want to identify as a female and live a life as a female, and vice versa. There's people who are born as females, and they want to identify as a male, and they think that because they believe this, that they can be a male. But this doesn't change God's truth. And just because they feel and believe that they're the opposite sex, it doesn't change what is true. You know, we can't just change God's truth like that by what we feel, you know, or how we want to identify. A male is what God says a male is, and a female is what God says a female is. So I'm going to change the truth concerning sin. You know, like, what's really a sin? Is that really a sin? A sin, a sin is whatever God says it is. Truth about anything is what God says it is. Judgment, it's whatever God says it is. Salvation, it's what God says it is. Heaven and hell are what God say they are. And it doesn't matter what man says or what man believes, but simply what God says. Many people say, well, truth is whatever they want it to be. They claim that what you believe is true for you, and what I believe is true for me. Even though the two are worlds apart, truth is absolute. Truth is absolute because it's derived from the one God. Absolute truth depends on God. Now, because there's just one body of truth, one God, truth is always internally consistent. It never contradicts itself. That's the beauty of truth. Truth always speaks with one voice, and it's always in perfect agreement with itself. And God doesn't change, and neither does His truth. God's truth cannot be true today, but not true tomorrow. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. Society may try to redefine morality, and culture may try to reclassify accepted traditional customs. But Jesus said He is the truth, not the custom of the day. And Jesus wanted His disciples to know that He was the truth and that they could count on what He was saying. Jesus spent a lot of time with His disciples, and He wanted them to know that what He was telling them was the truth. It was from God, unlike other teachers of the time, the Pharisees and other religious leaders. They could count on Jesus and what He was saying to be true. Any different truths that man come up with cannot be truth, but are lies, and from Satan, the father of lies. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the original liar who told the first sin to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's told more lies to more people than any other created being, and his success depends on people believing his lies. But Jesus is the truth, and He'll never deceive you. Thankfully, Jesus is our Savior, and His death and resurrection provide the basis for our forgiveness of our sins. His truth sets us free. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, it reads, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the one and only truth, And we can know this truth by holding to his message. All right. The third thing that Jesus said he was, he said he was the life. Jesus is a source of life, and without him, we have no life. And if you have no life, you're dead. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, or with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. We are all, without Jesus, living in death. And there is no path to life without him. You know, science and medicine can prolong our lives, but eventually our bodies are going to fail and we're going to die. 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 22, 20 through 22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So what this means is that Jesus is the only way to have life here on earth and an everlasting life with the Father in heaven. There's no other way. It's exclusively offered through Jesus. Living outside of Christ is like walking around as a dead man, essentially like a zombie, just going through life as a zombie. That's what life is like if you're living outside of Christ. And from John 10:10, John chapter 10, verse 10, the life we have through Christ is described as an abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So unlike the thief, the Lord Jesus does not come for selfish reasons, but instead to give life, an abundant life, one that is meaningful, purposeful, joyful, and eternal. We don't have to wait until heaven to experience this abundant life. We can have this abundant life now. Jesus promises us a life far better than we could ever imagine. And he does this by his power working in us. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. An abundant life consists of an abundance of love, joy, peace, and all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Not an abundance of stuff that we collect here on this earth. It consists of a life that is eternal. And therefore, our interest is in the eternal, not in the temporal, the things of this earth. Paul admonishes us in Colossians 3, verse 2, to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. We who are in Christ are called to keep our mind on things that are above, and not to be influenced by the things of the earth. We are to live by trusting in Jesus, who is the life. And knowing that in this world we're going to have tribulations, troubles, and sorrows, we can rejoice that Jesus has overcome the world. And we can look forward with eager anticipation to our priceless eternal home in heaven. A home that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. So in conclusion, Jesus is the way, the only way to a daily personal relationship with God, and the only way to an eternal home with Him in heaven. And since Jesus is the only way, it's absolutely vital to be our top priority every day to follow Him. And this way to the Father is intimately known by Jesus because He came from the Father to earth and He has returned back to the Father. And Jesus is the truth. Truth is derived from God and is absolute. And because it's just one body of truth, which is God, it's always consistent and never contradicts itself. And God doesn't change, and neither does His truth. There's only one road and one truth that leads to the Father. Any different truths that man may come up with cannot be true and are simply lies and are from Satan, the father of lies. And because Jesus is the truth, we know that He will never deceive us. And Jesus is the life. He's the source of life, and without Him, we have no life. If you have no life, then you're dead. He's the only way to have life here on earth and an eternal home with the Father in heaven. No other way is only offered through Jesus. And we know from John 10:10 that this life that we have through Christ is an abundant life, one that is meaningful and purposeful, joyful, a life where we can know God, have a daily personal relationship with Him. How great is our God to make all this possible for us through His only Son, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Chuck has chosen as an invitation song, Soon and Very Soon, which fits very well with our lesson because this song is about going to see the King. And seeing the King is our destination, an eternal home with our Heavenly Father. At this time, we offer an invitation to anyone who may have something on their heart they would like to share with our church family and would like us to pray for. During the invitation song, if you come forward, you can speak to one of our elders, and they will lift up your prayer to the Lord, your prayer request to the Lord. And this can be anything that you're struggling with, or maybe somebody you know is struggling with. And also, it can be something good that's happened in your life, maybe a prayer that's been answered, and you'd like to share that with our church family. And also, for those that are participating on the live stream, you can participate in this too. You can send a text to Wes. At the bottom of the song slides on the invitation song is a number, a text number. So those on live stream, if you have a prayer request, text it to Wes, and we can have that taken care of. Also, the invitation is an opportunity for those who have not yet put on Christ and obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for your sins, and you're ready to repent of your sins and confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and are ready to be buried with Him in baptism, in the watery grave of baptism, by immersion, to rise out of that water with Christ, a new creature, alive, with a new life in Christ. You have that opportunity also this morning. We have heated and warm water. We also have garments that that you can wear so that you don't get your own clothes wet. The abundant life that Christ came to give us is the only life that really matters. A truly meaningful life here as a child of God in an eternal home with Him in heaven. If there's any way that we can help, please come forward as Chuck leads us in the invitation song. Chuck.